Our star guest today is without doubt one of this country's most admired entertainers. She's ticked off almost every kind of entertainment on the list. She's an actor, a singer, a comedian, a dancer, a theatre director, and a loose woman. Well, there's very little that Sue Pollard hasn't actually done, but there's one role for which she will always hold national treasure status.
Well, if you're feeling lonely,
Sue Pollard, welcome to Community Connections.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I just think it's marvellous, and that was a great clip. In fact, if I may say, I saw Jeff last week who played Spike, because we're all the undead, as we call ourselves, which is fabulous. We get together quite a lot, and because it's being shown again on whichever channel it is. It's the most marvelous thing, to be reminded of the fact that we were really lucky to be in something that is still remembered and even just being discovered by the younger ones. So I think it's the most marvelous thing. So thank you for that. It's terrific.
Well, that was the moment that you finally got your yellow coat, the point that the whole series, I think, had been building up to right from episode one, acting opposite the wonderful Ruth Madoc.
Oh, Don, I cannot believe. I mean, I don't want it to be doom and gloom because she was fantastic, but it's now getting on for 2.5 years since she's no longer with us. And do you know what? She was just the epitome of professionalism. And not many people, I think, know this, that she went to radar, as I lovingly call it, RADA. And she was only 16. Now that's a very prestigious drama school, worldwide renowned. She must have been really, really good to have got in, especially that young. And I'm quite proud to say that I come from Nottingham, and Ruth actually did her first professional job at the Nottingham Playhouse, and she was what they still call ASM, actor performer. And which means assistant stage manager, which for those that don't really know, it means that you're actually a general jobs body. You make sure that the props are laid out correctly for whichever scene. And then you're hoping that you might get called upon to understudy and go on. So that's how she started, bless her.
And as you've pointed out yourself, Sue, you were born in Nottingham and you've sort of followed in the same footsteps, really.
Oh, yes, I believe so. When I was about six, I was at school, and Miss Lee, the headmistress, she was fabulous. She said, Sue, come to my office. Oh, dear, trepidation, it's like we've all been there, haven't we?
Oh, we
And I
have.
said, what is it, Miss? She said, now we can't have you. She said, we have the school gabardine mac, which was an essential part of the actual uniform. And you're wearing it round your neck like an opera cloak. This will not do. You can't be flowing about, like in that Wuthering Heights video. Can you imagine a headmistress in her 70s then knowing Kate Bush? Unbelievable. And I said, sorry, miss. She said, you have a theatrical outlet. I'll put you in touch with a manager friend of mine who runs a local Amdram Society called the Nottingham Cooperative Arts Theatre. So I started there in the Amdrams, if you like, and appeared in all sorts of genres, pantos and musicals, etc. And so that's basically how I actually started. And then when I was 15, a gentleman who was the MD of the actual musical theatre society said, I'll tell you what, why don't we go and do the working men's clubs? I think you'll get fantastic experience, which it was, to be fair. And so I learned a lot. So basically, if you like, Andrew, I've been involved in showbiz of sorts from being very young. So I think it's just been a lifelong passion, to be fair.
Tell you what they say, we mustn't forget the Tennant Rubber Company.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you've done your homework, Andrew. Well done. I have to tell you that, yeah. Because before I started as a fully fledged pro, I was a shorthand typist and I used to go to various temporary jobs because I was a temp then, probably just a week at each place. Anyway, I found a permanent job, yes, indeed, at the Tennant Rubber Company. And it was marvellous. And I got into trouble because I was on reception. And one bloke came in one day and said, he said, have you got any of them, that men used? So I said, oh, yeah. Condoms, he said, in between, embarrassed coughs. I said, oh, no, but I can sell you Wellington if you like, because we were the rubber company that sold Wellingtons and stuff and things like that. And the boss went, I don't think that sort of conversation is necessary. So, anyway, several years later, when I'd been in showbiz for a while, I went to a function and this guy came up to me and I thought, I'm sure I recognize you. And indeed, I did know him and we got talking and he said, do you remember the Tennant Rubber Company when you were younger? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, my uncle owned it. Mr. Henry Tennant. I said, yes. He said, well, I am his nephew, Neil Tennant of the Pet Shop Boys.
No.
Yeah. So you just never know, do you, who you're ever going to meet in life. It was amazing. Yeah. And he was a really nice bloke to talk to. Spitting image of his uncle, dear. Flipping heck, but nice guy.
One of the things that I've picked up, Sue, looking and researching for this interview is just the sheer variety of entertainment that you've been involved with. You started off, didn't you, with Opportunity Knocks, where you came second to a Jack Russell.
Oh yes, that was rather unfortunate. But well, you just don't know, do you? And I went on and I think I sang I think it was something like, I'm just a girl who can't say no. Anyway, there was this chap, and you always have some sort of make-believe kind of pretend set. So there he was. This chap was called Harold Gum. Anyway, there he was in a sort of a battered old hat with a piece of straw in his mouth with a hay bale, and he had a dog with him. And he said, right, I'm going to sing a duet with my dog, Jack. Very innovative name, seeing he's with Jack Russell. And he sang, oh, what a beautiful morning. And the dog went, ow. And that was a duet. And the bloke at the end, the cameraman said, well, he only got the dog to sing because he put his finger up its bum. Ah, it was quite a memorable moment in my showbiz life. It was just great, actually. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Do you find, though, Sue, that with your ability to talk and chat and very much a raconteur, really, that these stories just become part of your life and part of your act, don't they, I guess?
Well, yes, they do. Funnily enough, what I've just discussed about, because I have to be careful that I don't give too much away, because I tell that story about Neil Tennant with in my show, which is called Still Fully Charged. I woke up one day and I went, okay, I need to now start to do a show about my 50 years in showbiz. I think at least it's relevant and still about. Got some nice, hopefully, stories to tell and make a good show out of it. And one day I woke up and there was the phone and it said fully charged on it. I thought, yes, what a great title because it's more interesting, Andrew, than an evening with. Nothing
Yes.
wrong with that. I just wanted something a little bit more ambitious. So I tell these sort of stories and people really seem to enjoy them because my show consists of quite a few surprises, i.e., there are film clips of shows I've been in, like Royal Variety Show, along with Ruth, along with the members of the Heidi High cast. And it's just seems to be fascinating to the audience so that they can learn things they've never known or never seen. And there's lots of unseen footage from videos that I've done over the years. And it's quite nostalgic in a way. There's a beautiful Heidi High section. where I introduce, you know, obviously various members of the company. And you can hear members of the audience going, oh, yes, I remember that bit. Oh, poor Shane, he was lovely. You know, so I always like to share things with an audience that remember you from the beginning.
A programme such as Heidi High, there's been many sitcoms over the years, some of which get the national attention, some get forgotten after a few years. Heidi High is still as new and as fresh and to a certain extent as relevant these days as it was back then.
Oh, yes, totally. I mean, it makes me actually laugh when some people say, well, it's some of these things are very dated. Well, of course they are, because they're actually in a certain era, and everything's going to get dated, but it's still relevant because it was in the public psyche. So I don't think anything should be referred to as dated. It's the content of it, basically people-driven, character-driven. David and Jimmy, the writers, David Croft, Jimmy Perry, they were very astute in everything that they wrote, like Hello, Hello, Are You Being Served, The Great Dad's Army. The characters were so well drawn that all the viewers at home could identify with at least one of those characters. They might say, oh, do you know, that reminds me of Henry that lives about five doors down. You know, so they carefully wrote characters that, as I said, the audiences could identify with. And particularly in respect to Peggy Olenshaw, the Chalamet, Heidi High, Ted Bovis, the camp comic, Spike Dixon, the would-be camp comic, they were always hopefuls. And that's what David and Jimmy liked to write about. Characters that weren't absolutely yet at the top of their tree, but we were hoping that they'd get somewhere. So it was always a hopeful episode from them. And in so doing, trying to do their very best, because they probably overdid it, they were hapless and just got themselves into really silly scrapes. But the audience at home could identify with them and say, for example, Peggy, oh, I hope she gets to be a yellow coat one day. So they weren't daft at all. They wrote about everyday characters, and that's how it became popular.
Heidi High was definitely an ensemble piece, wasn't it? You can think of all of those characters, and in a way, take any one of those out and it wouldn't have been the same.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. They're very, very careful in any kind of sitcom that they did. Have you noticed they never wrote anything for two people? The idea was they loved the so-called class distinction. You know, when we went on to do Urania Lord, the upstairs, downstairs, if you like, of that original show, it was fantastic. Their humour came from the so-called working class had much more nous and common sense than anybody upstairs that had the money and everything else and the titles and the posh living standards. But when it came down to making a decision, everyday stuff, they hadn't lived in the real world. So the humour came from as much as the incompetence of the upstairs people than it ever did from the downstairs. So they were very hot on that. Now, this is a little known fact. I don't know if you know this, but I learned all this from David and Jimmy. David said when they were first casting Dad's Army, they thought, great, we've got two great actors, John Le Mesurier and, lovely, what's his name?
You know, Arthur Lowe.
That's it. Don't know why I forget, but you do sometimes, don't you, Andrew?
You do.
One day they invited the head of comedy to come to the rehearsal room. Heads of comedy, heads of drama, every so often they like to go and see a rehearsal just to see how their commission, if you like, is coming on. Anyway, this bloke, and he said, it was Billy Cotton Jr. And he said, no, I don't think you've got the casting right of these two guys, Captain Mannering. And he said, no, he said, I think if you swapped the rad, and Arthur Lowe became Captain Mallory, and John Le Mesurier became the other one. He said, that is an absolutely, that would be more of a genius casting. And then David and Jimmy had a chat and said, yeah, I think he's right. So it just shows you, they swapped them over. And of course, the rest is, you know, just absolute genius history, really.
So you've got so much that you've done. I just want to pick up a few other things, if I may. I can remember seeing you on the Val Doonica music show. I mean, you were on so many different types of programmes, weren't you?
Yes, that's amazing. You should touch on that. That is one of the things, actually, that comes out of the clips. So I'd just better be careful now. Anyway, that was one of them. It's amazing that you should bring that up, because I was very fortunate, the fact that the director, she was great at the Val Doonican show. She came along to a rehearsal once of Heidi High, and I had to do some sort of singing thing, and as Peggy, you know. And she went afterwards, she said, oh, she said, I'd love you to do a duet with Val. She says, because we always like to have different sort of people on. And she said, it's nice to be able to think that the public can see different people in a different light. So I said, oh, yes, I'd love to. So that was how that's how that came about. And I was very fortunate, Andrew, to know that before Heidi High was even remotely sniffed at, I started my career as a musical performer, and who just, you know, happened to hopefully have some sort of gift for comedy. And so basically I was in a lot of musical shows before this. So whenever these opportunities arose, I was able hopefully to rise to the occasion, because I'd been used to doing music and stuff for years. So it was nice to think that you got another string to your bow.
It was very successful. And of course, you went on to have a number two hit as well, didn't you? With the theme to Starting Together, I believe.
Yes, that was marvellous. Now, this is all in the show, you see, darling, so I can't give too much away. But once again, no, that was fantastic. I was dead, dead lucky. I can tell you this. You know what I'd really love to have done in my career, darling? And I'm sure you'll understand, because I'm sure a lot of people have been the same. I think it would have been fantastic to have 6 months as stage and screen and 6 months as a pop singer. Fabulous. But very often, Andrew, as we know, it doesn't work out like that, because, well, it just doesn't. Yeah. You can, if you're not careful, you are in a box, as it were, aren't we? We all are. Oh, no, we don't have so-and-so in that, because she's a pop singer. We can't ask her to be in a mega musical or a play or something. And but a few people have defied that, like Madonna was in Evita. So it's lovely to think that if someone can see a potential in you that perhaps shows you in a different light and you'd be good at it, then that's all you need. Just somebody giving you an extra break, really.
We mustn't forget, in more recent years, you've been working on Loose Women, which is, again, something different, but keeping your career fresh.
Oh, yes, I quite enjoy that. The idea is that, of course, it's live, so you have to self-edit. They don't go, beep, beep, that's no good. But that's good, because it's good for discipline. And also, they just give you an idea the day before of what they're going to be discussing. So we'll be doing da-da-da-da-da. Have you got any illustrations that can add to the discussion? And I rather like that. I think it's a very, very entertaining programme. I didn't know it's been going on for about 20-odd years now, you know. And it first started, I believe, in Norwich. And I think it's quite a good time, actually, Andrew, because you get a lot of people, housewives, maybe perhaps caring for, you know, family members, etc. And it's just something nice to watch at a certain time that most people are out and about, you know, or they're in and able to watch TV. So, oh, I think it's great. I never like to turn anything down, Andrew, if I believe it's good. If it's a good piece of TV, I think, actually, this is well produced, well directed, good people on it, then you'd be daft not to, you know, at least consider it. Some things I wouldn't consider because I couldn't do, like ballet dancing, unless I was doing a pastiche. Well, not everybody is really good at that, but you know what? So what? There's millions of other people that can dance well. That's enough. A few million is a good number, you know. And if we're not good at that, hopefully we're good at something else, Andrew. So we can't get upset about what we're no good at.
We certainly are. Sue, we are rapidly coming to the end of our time together, which I'm really, really sorry about. But we will mention again that show of yours, Still Fully Charged. You're literally all around the country, aren't you? But I have noticed that near to us, you're at Minehead on the 2nd of October. You're in Weymouth on the 2nd of November. How can my
Yeah.
listeners find out more information about you and perhaps book for that show?
Well, all they have to do is go on to suepollardlive.com. It will give you all the information, you know, dates, start time, you know, when the show finishes, and where we are. And also, you know, it's always good to contact the box office or the theatre itself. They usually have some sort of email, or some of them still have a phone, which is rather good. I always like to say to people, have you actually got a physical phone line there? Because some people aren't very good at box office stuff, are they, or emails? So, but there'll always be somebody. I've also got a fantastic, beautiful Instagram. It's always there. And I'd just like to add, Andrew, that everyone is welcome to come to the foyer afterwards. I always, after the show, come round, have a little chat if anyone wants a selfie. I'm perfectly happy because to me, that's part of the job. So never feel, you know, like awkward about coming to say hi. It's really nice to meet everyone.
Sue, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. Please, would you make this person's dream come true by saying those magic words?
I certainly will. Hi, dear. Hi.
Howdy ho, Sue Pollard.
That's it. Fabulous if you're feeling lonely. Thanks, Andrew, for your time.
Lovely to talk to you. Take care.
Lots of love to you. God bless.
Dressed and do the town. I'll find some crowded avenue.
Though it will be empty without you.
Can't get used to losing you no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you.
Called up some girl I used to know. After I heard her say hello, I couldn't think of anything to say.
Since you've gone, it happens every day. Can't get used to losing you, no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you.
Take your place.
Guess that I am just a hopeless case. Can't get used to losing you no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you. Can't get used to losing you no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you.
try to do.